So yeah, that's really exciting. We don't get that everywhere. So that's just great. And we get a chance to see some insight into things there. Not only in school, but I think some of those things we would agree that that overlaps into our work environment and some of the things we face at work, some of the things we go into at work. So just to take a few moments, just on the bottom of the bulletin, I've got a handful of notes there. We're going to kind of move through those. I want you to have something to take home with you from today. And we're going to be going to 1 Peter and Ephesians chapter 6. And 1 Peter was a letter that Peter was writing to Christians that were suffering. They were just, I mean, they were suffering, like dying, being persecuted, tortured, not just, and those are things we have historical and on a physical level. There's, you know, no idea about the amount of mental and emotional stress they were going through because of the suffering that they were undergoing. And so Peter's writing to them this letter, and he goes through all these different things about suffering. And then once we finally get to chapter 5, he kind of gets to the bottom of it all, and he gets into this understanding that we are in a spiritual war here. We've got spiritual stuff going on, and he writes these words. Stay alert. Everyone say alert. Oh, my phone just shut off. Oh, well. That was my timer. Stay alert. Watch out for your great enemy. The adversary is another word that's used in other versions there. The devil. He prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. If you guys can just get that mental picture in your head of him prowling around like a roaring lion, hunting, looking for someone to devour. It's very purposeful. It's full of intent. His desire, that's what he's doing. He's like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour, hunting, targeting things. Stand firm against him. Be strong in your faith. Remember that your Christian brothers and sisters all over the world are going through the same kind of suffering you are. In his kindness, God caused you to share in his eternal glory by means of Christ Jesus. So after you have suffered a little while, he will restore, support, and strengthen you, and he will place you on a firm foundation. All power to him forever. Amen. So let's write this down real quick. As Christians, we will be targeted. We will be targeted and hunted by the devil. That will happen. We live in a pretty cozy community. We live in a relationship here where we can have this with Southwest Local Schools. And some of our other school systems have some very similar attitudes and perspectives on things that Southwest. I just know I'm very close to Southwest because of the city-to-city relationship. We live in a cozy environment, but that still does not disguise the fact that the devil is a roaring lion and he is prowling around. We are targeted. We are hunted. He is looking for people to devour. Let's write that down. He seeks to deceive and destroy. One of those could have been devour from that passage, but he seeks to deceive and destroy. He is a deceiver. In Revelation, he's called another name that means he's the destroyer, the destroying angel. He will attack strategically. Some of you guys know this. This is a reminder, but sometimes we need to bring to surface things that we knew at one time. In Ephesians 6, which we'll read in a minute, it talks about Satan's schemes. Satan's just not haphazard. I think he will take advantage of any opportunity that jumps in front of him, no doubt. He's a pro at that, but he's a schemer. He will attack strategically, and we need to be aware of that. We need to understand that our enemy is no dummy. He is intelligent. He's sly. I use the word creative first service, but I'm timid to do that. He's manipulative. He goes down those roads. Creative just seems like a word I want to reserve for God, so I apologize for that being on first service's recording. We don't deal with an idiot there. We can't treat him that way in our mindset and the way we look at things. He will attack us in a strategic manner. That is how he will come for us. We have to stand against his schemes. So write this down. We will be involved in spiritual warfare at work and at school. Just because we have these little compartments, if we compartmentalize and God's here at church and God's here at my home, but I'm not going to have God at work, that doesn't work. One, we've been talking about it, we can't do that. But when it comes to dealing with Satan doesn't compartmentalize and say, well, I'll attack you here or here. we are in a spiritual war at work and at school, and that's not something that we have a choice over when it comes to his activity, Satan's activity at work and school. We live in a very blessed area where we don't see as much of the pushback from different things, but we need to shore up, church. We need to make sure we get our feet in there as much as we can and connect as much as we can with these the school systems, because some of the things might come that he's describing that their open doors will allow. And if we want to keep open doors for us, they're going to have open doors for these other things that could possibly come in. We need to make sure we have the numbers. We need to make sure that we are in there and we have the influence and we're strong enough that if a group like that comes in, they won't be able to succeed. We need to make that happen. So we need to understand that we are involved in spiritual warfare, and that's at school and at work. Just because we compartmentalize work over here, you can't do that. That's still a spiritual battleground that Satan is more than happy to jump into and attack there, to prowl and to seek to deceive and destroy, to strategically attack us, to hunt us. He won't stay in certain categories. So we need to understand that at school, at work, we will be involved in spiritual war. And so I've got a preacher three this morning. Those are good. But you can take them home because they're pretty easy to remember. So we've got three things here we need to do. We need to be armed. We need to be armed. In chapter 6 of Ephesians, Paul talks about the armor of God, the famous armor of God. He compares the armor of a soldier of his time to our dependence on God. And that's basically, if you want to sum all of the armor of God up into one kind of neat little package of what does it all mean, what are all these parts talking about, you can sum it up in this, that the armor of God, to be armed, means that we prepare ourselves by repetitious dependence on God. Repetitious dependence on God. You do something over and over and over and over again, and that's repetition. You do that in any sport. Paul writes about, you know, war type stuff. He writes about athletic type examples and different things. Paul will bring that up a lot. So in any sport, when you're doing, you know, you got soccer or baseball or basketball, or, you know, we took a staycation this past week. Monday and Tuesday we went out and did some things, and on Monday we went up to Crew Tower, and the first time I've been up to the 49th level, and poor Judah was, he was scared to go to the edge. So, but Isaiah and I were walking around, and Judah finally joined us. But we got a chance to see the Bengals out there on their practice field, to the side of Paul Brown Stadium. And I didn't even know they existed over there. They've got it, you know, pretty hidden. But from up there, boy, you can see it. And they were out there running around, so we paid a quarter to see if we could see them in the little viewfinder. But they do. Anybody that does any kind of sport, you do it over and over and over and over again so that you repeat it, so that when you need it, it's there. And it's the same thing. That's what this armor of God is. It's all about this repetitious dependence on God. If you look at the various pieces of the armor, he talks about the belt of truth. The belt of truth, we depend on God for our truth. The more we depend on him for our truth, the stronger our belt of truth gets. The bigger, the stronger our attachment to his truth, the stronger our understanding of his truth gets. The more we depend on his truth. It's not truth that I'm making up, because then that's not truth, is it? So I make up a lot of things that are pretty crazy. But truth is truth, and that comes from God, and we have a dependence on him for that. The belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness. We know our righteousness doesn't come from ourselves. Our righteousness comes from God through Christ. That's very clear, multiple times in Scripture. That's where our righteousness comes from. So if we want the breastplate of righteousness, that comes from a repetitious dependence on God, because that's where our righteousness comes from. Our feet fitted with readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. Our source of peace is Christ. We depend on him for our peace. That doesn't come from us. He gives not as the world gives, but he gives peace different. The only kind of peace that Jesus can give, and we depend on that. And our peace comes from the gospel, which was provided by Jesus Christ. And so not only do we receive peace from the gospel, but our feet are fitted with this readiness to go and share the gospel, because we know the peace that it brings us, and we know the peace that it can bring other people. And it's that constant dependence on the gospel and on the peace that comes from it. It's not something that we get. We don't make our own shoes that are, you know, the shoes of the gospel peace. That's a dependence on God that we get. So you're looking at these pieces of armor, and really all of them talk about our dependence of God, the shield of faith. That right there, that's just a culmination of our trust in God, a shield of faith. Over and over and over again, repetitious dependence on God as we trust him, dependence on God's protection, dependence on God's deliverance, dependence on God's safety, dependence on God's security. And that's what becomes a shield of faith for us, is that a repetitious dependence on God and a trust in him, the helmet of salvation. We all know no one here can earn our salvation. We've talked about it a bazillion times, and I will talk about it a bazillion more in the many years I hopefully have left in ministry. So, I mean, we never know how long we've got on earth. That's why I say that, done. So I'm in heaven, and you guys are looking for someone, but you never know. But I will preach that we cannot earn it, and I will continue to preach as long as I've got breath in me. We do not earn salvation. Salvation is a gift. And so this helmet of salvation, it's not something where I've made my own helmet of salvation. This helmet is a gift from God, and I depend on that. I depend on his grace. I depend on his mercy daily. And so the armor of God, it's just this repetitious dependence on these various elements that are represented in this armor, the sword of the Spirit, the Bible. We depend on the Bible. And the more you depend on the Bible, the better you get at understanding how to use that sword, the better you are familiar, or the more familiar you are with that sword. And so we prepare ourselves for battle, and we are armed. We're armed simply because we are repetitively depending on God in these various areas. So after talking about that, let's read that. And I want us to kind of use that lens to hear and read this scripture from. Paul says, "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes." That's where that was that I told you that it would be in our scripture coming up. So take your stand against the devil's schemes. He's a schemer. He will attack strategically. "For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after having done everything, to stand." Stand firm then. So there's three of them right there. "Stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to this, take up the shield of faith, which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one, the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God." So we are armed. And then he says it right there three times real quick. Stand. So let's go and write that down. We need to be armed. We also need to stand. We need to stand strong. We need to stand strong. It's one thing to be armed, but if you're armed and you're not doing anything, if you're armed and you're hiding somewhere, it's not going to do any good. We're armed through this repetitious dependence on God, and we stand strong. And what that is that we are dialing in. We're leaning into that. We're focusing. We are dialing in to the resolve and determination that it takes to resist, overcome, and stand victorious. That's what it means to stand. To dial into that determination. I'm going to stick with this. I'm going to do this. And that has to be uncompromising. We cannot compromise who we are, what we believe in. We cannot let that slide. We cannot, in the midst of things bending and moving and twisting all around us in our society, in our culture, at work, at school, we cannot compromise, Christians. And you need to be reminded of that. I need to be reminded of that. And as often as we can be reminded of that, to lift us up, to support us and encourage us, do not compromise. Do not let anything slide. Once you let one thing slide, it's easier for the next thing to slide, the next thing to slide after that. We must be uncompromising. If we're going to stand, you have to stand and do all that you can to stand, to be uncompromising, to be unapologetic. I'm a Christian. This is who I am. God has saved me. God, my wife, I got a chance to go and eat with her and some of her business associates. And I don't get as much mingle time with them. And normally when I do, I'm kind of hanging out because they're all doctors and medical people and different things. And I don't know a whole lot about that stuff. So I can't really involve myself in the conversation. But this was a smaller group and we were sitting there talking. And it wasn't, 10 minutes before we were sitting at the table. And I'm, telling them my story about how I became a Christian and different things. I didn't even realize I was doing it. It just kind of came out. And it's who I am. And the lady sitting here said, "I can't believe I'm sitting at a table with a minister and it's like he's a normal guy." I'm like, this is who I am. This is who our identity is. There's no reason to apologize for who you are and what you are, what Christ has made you to be, who he is inside of you. We cannot live with this mentality that we need to apologize for who we are, apologize for our beliefs, or apologize for what we stand for. We need to stand unapologetically. We need to stand unwavering. You can't move. You can't waver. When you stand, plant your feet and you stand. You get in a stance and you hold it. Do not waver, because when you waver, people notice. People see when you're kind of flip-flopping and you got some little waffly things and you got things that are not quite right. And well, you claim to believe this, but here's how you act. Here's what you do. Here are the things you say. Here are the jokes you participate in. Here are the things that, you know, I know that you shared that bid with this person and it's completely unrealistic. Do not waver. If we're going to stand, if you're going to go through the process of being armed and this constant, just repetitious dependence on God, then you stand, and you stand unwavering. Do not waver. You are who you are. Your principles are what they are. Your values are what they are. Your morals are what they are, because they come from Scripture, and they come from God, and that means something to you. So do not compromise. Do not apologize for who you are. Do not waver. And we stand unashamed. It would be a very sad day to hear the words from Scripture, "You are ashamed of me, so I was ashamed of you." I never want to hear that, ever. We have to stand unashamed of who we are. We are Christians. We are bought by Jesus Christ. We are God's children. That's something to be excited about. That's something to not be ashamed of. That's something to be proud of. We had a really neat discussion in the preaching team meeting last month that I almost wish we could have just recorded that and played it back for one of the sermons next month, or the month after, whichever one we were discussing. But we got in some really tough stuff there. But some of it was on, this is our identity. This is who we are. And we should be excited about it. We should be proud about it in a good way. We're so careful to be humble, or if we were Dutch, it would be humble. We're so careful to not jump through that gap. But Christians, we are God's children. There's something to be excited about there. We should not be ashamed of it and have to feel like we hide under a rock, or we, you know, had a veil. Take the veil off, just like Paul was talking about. Was it Paul? The scripture we were talking about last week or the week before, that we don't have to have a veil anymore. Moses had to have a veil, and they operated under a covenant of fear, but we don't have a covenant of fear. We have a covenant of love. And there's no reason why we should veil our faces. There's no reason why we should be ashamed. So stand uncompromising, unapologetic, unwavering, unashamed, and we need to be alert. So we need to be armed, we need to stand, and we need to be alert. If you're armed and you're standing, you can still get caught off guard. You can still get caught off guard. So you have to be alert. We have to understand that is in this spiritual war that we're in. Even if it seems like things are all cozy in our school systems, or maybe you're in a work environment where everybody there's a Christian, or you're, you know, in a, whatever your neighborhood and everybody's in the same boat, we still have to be alert. You cannot get comfortable. You cannot get, you know, you can't rock back on your heels. You need to stay on your toes, on the front of your foot, to make sure that you're ready, that you are alert. We said that word when we read 1 Peter. Stay alert, Peter says, in the midst of their suffering, in the midst of their persecution. In the midst of our peace, in the midst of our cushy times, I think it's even more important for us to stay alert, because we will get caught off guard because it's cushy. So we need to be alert. We need to have a good counter-offensive. We need to be able to counter-attack. In Taekwondo, when you're sparring, that's a big deal, is to know how to counter. You know, if you block someone else's punch or kick, you know, and I've never done that with a woman with wooden shoes, so that'd be a little intimidating. We wear pads. So, but if you're going to block that, yeah, sure, you might have kept them from scoring a point, but what advance did you make? You know, if you're in continuous sparring where it doesn't stop when you get a point, and you block one, or even if you take a hit, you make sure you put about two or three in there to change the score. As Christians, we need to view things that way. We need to look at our faith that if, okay, I avoided this situation, or I blocked this attack, or I stayed safe through this, we can't just stop there and settle for that. We have to come up with a counteroffensive. When we are defending and we stand strong and we say, hey, I stood. The armor worked. That constant dependence on God, it worked. I stood through that. The shield of faith, helmet of salvation, belt of truth, all that worked. You can't stop there. You can't settle there. You have to be alert. And as those things happen, we have to be thinking about what's the counteroffensive. What's the next thing? What can we do to respond to this. So not only do we need to be alert and be watchful of what's happening around us, because our environment can change that quick, either through something just a circumstantial or situational event, or through an attack of the devil. And we don't talk about that as much. That's real stuff. And our circumstance, our environment can change just at the flick of a switch. And we need to be ready, not just for the environment, we need to be ready for ourselves. We need to watch, and this doesn't have any blanks, but we'll have this in your bulletin. We need to watch, we are watchful and mindful of our choices and how we behave in our environment, how we respond to how our environment changes. After Paul talks about the armor of God, he says this, he says, and pray. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert. There's that word again. Peter used it. Paul uses it. It's used throughout the letters in the New Testament. Be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. Everyone say all. All the Lord's people. Pray also for me that whenever I speak, and I take this from verse 19 on. Yes, Paul's talking about himself. He's being very personal. We are all sharers of the gospel. We are all benefactors of the gospel and God's saving grace. Therefore, according to what we studied earlier in this series, we are all ministers, not just me or people that, you know, do it as a living. We are all ministers of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We are all carriers of that message. We all have that letter written on our heart individually of what the gospel has done for us. And so when Paul says these words, I read this and I think we, every one of us, need to have the same attitude that Paul had as he's writing this. Let me read this. I want you to think about me. Think about yourself. Pray also for me. And Paul's saying this about him, but I want you to think about this, you saying this to someone. I want you to pray also for me, that whenever I speak, words may be given me so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel. How many of us are asking people to pray about that for our life and work and at school? Pray for me so that I will have the ability to fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray I may declare it fearlessly as I should. So prayer is a big deal. When you write this down, pray continually. You know that, but it doesn't hurt to write it down, to be reminded of it. Pray continually. Pray continually. And watch your integrity. People are watching you at school. People, and not just high school, you know, heading off to college. People are watching you in school. People are watching you at your workplace. They're going to watch to see if you waver. They're going to watch to see if you compromise at some point or another. They're going to watch to see if when something happens in a circumstance, an environment happens, and you're not quite alert, and you lie a little to get out of a situation, or you phony up a bid to try and make a sale, or you do some of these other things that lack integrity, people are going to watch and they're going to see that. So be alert, not only of what's happening outside, but we need to be alert of what's happening inside and how we respond and how we act and how we treat scenarios and situations. So very, very, very simple this morning. Be armed. Stand firm. Be alert in your work and your school.